Welcome to CU Today, the official podcast of Cameron University, hosted by President Dr. Shane Hunt. Each month, we bring you the Aggie Experience, featuring conversations with students, faculty, and staff about the exciting themes happening right here on campus. CU Today airs the last Monday night of every month at 6:30 on KCCU Public Radio. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or visit kccu.org for more information. Now, here's your host, Dr. Shane Hunt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of CU Today. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and we are thrilled to welcome you all to a brand new radio show that's going to air the last Monday of every month right here on KCCU at 6:30 p.m., where we get to talk with some of our amazing alumni, faculty, and staff right here at Cameron University. And I'm thrilled to welcome as my guest on this very first episode, proud Cameron University alum and current CEO and president of Duncan Regional Hospital, Jay Johnson. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Proud to be here.
Well, Jay, I just want to start out as an alum. Talk a little bit about your background. What brought you here to Cameron as a student, and what program did you major in or work in when you were here at CU?
Yeah, I love that question because I love to talk about my time at Cameron. It was a great time in my life. I had an incredible experience there. I really chose Cameron simply the biggest reason was I was afforded the Presidential Leaders University Scholars Scholarship Program, and just to be able to finish my career at Cameron with no debt was
absolutely
a great opportunity, and helped me in my future for sure. And really being part of a program like that, the opportunities we had to meet a lot of the community and university leaders and get exposed to things that is so that really broadens what you learn and much more than just all the didactic work you're getting. I mean, you being part of campus life, I think, is a huge reason people should want to go to college right out of high school and to gain those experiences, not just the fun part that comes with that, but also the extracurricular things that are more than just book work and classroom work.
No, Jay, absolutely. And our Plus Scholars program is so amazing. And, you know, I get the great privilege this fall and every fall going forward as president, I get to teach their kind of intro class for that. And so I'm super excited to welcome the 2025 class of Plus Scholars and get to hopefully give them some of those experiences that had such a big impact on you. So you go to Cameron. So talk a little bit, Jay, about your journey from Cameron to being the CEO of one of our awesome hospitals right here in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's a long journey. You just asked for a lot of years. If I can summarize that, I left Cameron. You know, I really got some great experiences. My family were friends with the CEO at Comanche County Memorial Hospital at that time. His name was Randy Curry, and Randy and some of the other executives at that hospital really had a big influence on me. And while I was at Cameron, I would do summer internships there, and I learned a lot about, I got to see what hospital executives did, and
yeah,
I really loved it. My chosen major was business, and I hadn't really decided what I wanted to do. And after I got some exposure to this field, I loved it and thought, man, that's a great opportunity for me. One of the things I liked about it was it was business, and it was entrepreneurship. It was operations, but it was also politics, and it was also working with such a diverse group of people. Hospitals are a unique animal. They're almost a city. We have all walks of life that are here, all the way to the most educated when you talk to the subspecialized physicians that work. So it never affords the same day.
Yeah.
And you talk to such an eclectic group that it's always mentally engaging and fun. It's a fun career. And so I fell in love with that while I was at Cameron. And my early mentors kind of guided me to where you're going to get your master's degree, because you have to have a master's at one time it's called a master's in hospital administration. Today it's referred to as master's in health administration.
Yeah.
It's because the healthcare industry's gotten so broad. And I ended up being accepted at Virginia Commonwealth University, is where I received my master's. It's currently the third ranked MHA school in the country.
It's so a great program.
And I had a great time on the East Coast, but moving away, I was a Lawton kid. I was born and raised in Lawton, and I learned that I didn't want to be outside Oklahoma. I liked Virginia, liked my time there, but I left and went and became a, I did my administrative residency at Parkland in Dallas.
Yeah.
So I was able to get closer to this neck of the woods and had a great time there. Was there for 3 years. They hired me, gave me my first job as administrative director of Women and Children's Services. But I also realized I didn't want to do academic medicine.
Yeah.
And then I got the opportunity to go to Stillwater Medical Center in Stillwater, and I was there for 9 years and left as their chief operating officer. And then I became the chief operating officer at Mercy Hospital Ardmore. I was there for 5 years before. And then I was hired here at Duncan Regional, and I've been here 15 years as the president and CEO. And one of the things that makes this job great is that I am so close to Cameron. And for the last 15 years, I've been able to give back some and to be more involved in what happens at Cameron University. And so that's been a great part of my career and been fun time for me being in Duncan.
Well, and Jay, we're so thankful for all that you do and have helped our students well with and have helped our university with. It has to be a fascinating time to be a president CEO of a healthcare organization. Can you talk a little bit about just how different that job is today than 15 years ago?
It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot in my 30 years in this career. You know, back in the 90s when I came out, we had just kind of gone through the Hillary Care not passing Congress, but yeah. Healthcare was kind of set at that point. To even today, we've been evolving since that time. The challenges that were in the 90s are the same challenges here in the 20s, which are why is healthcare cost rising, access to care, people need care, where they are, rural healthcare, which is what I'm a big advocate for. How do we get more services for the people that live in rural America and specifically Southwest Oklahoma? And the biggest change probably has been the way that hospitals interact with physicians. The doctors are, when I started my career, no one was employed by a hospital. It wasn't even considered. And in today's world, 90% of the providers, I would say, not just the physicians, are now employed here. That's another major change.
And a massive change, Jay. Like you said, just in one generation. I mean, that's something I knew it the other way. I had friends whose parents were physicians, and to see where it is today, I couldn't have imagined that 25 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you had asked the senior doctors in the 90s and the early 2000s if they'd ever be employed by the hospital, they would say, I'm not doing that. I mean, there's no way. And but economics really have forced that on the way that hospitals get paid and the way doctors get paid is really what's driven that. And the other major change is how many advanced practice providers we have now that care for our communities. Those are nurse practitioners and physician assistants. When I came out in the 90s and probably even the early 2000s, I'd never even heard of a nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
And now we have independent nurse practitioners that care for, have clinics and care for our communities, much like the physicians did in the 20 years ago. So those are probably the two biggest changes that I've seen in healthcare over my 30 years.
No, and I think, Jay, that's a great lesson for students, which is, you know, you're going to be prepared for a field or maybe even an industry, but no matter what you do as you evolve in your career and you take on leadership roles, I mean, higher ed, this will be my 19th year as a professor, Jay, and higher ed and universities are dramatically different than they were 19 years ago. I mean, when I graduated college, I graduated as an undergrad 27 years ago. When I graduated 27 years ago, I'd never taken an online class and didn't know what one is. And so, you mean, you just think about how higher ed's changed. And I think that's important for students to understand. And that kind of leads into, Jay, my last question And I love when alums who have had great success share with this. What advice would you have students right now, Jay, that student that's sitting in that same business class or that same gen ed class that you were in as a Cameron student? What advice would you have for current students on things they can do here or outside of Cameron to prepare themselves for the bright futures we want for them?
Much of what I alluded to earlier, engage in things outside of the classroom and meet people. Life is about relationships, and you will be more successful the more people you know. Build your Rolodex. It's just not called that anymore. Build your contact list in your phone. You know, get to know people, especially in your chosen profession and whatever that may be. You will have professors that I've been engaged in things that they can introduce you to, as well as there will be people in the community that you can meet too. And, you know, look at internships and plan your summers and get engaged in your career now. Something I've learned as I've gotten older, adults really love to talk to engaging young people that want a future.
They absolutely do, Jay. And don't you think that's more true today than ever before?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. And I think it's contagious, and I think it's inspiring for adults to see young adults really wanting to improve and access and do more.
No, I think we encourage our students. I'm going to be doing some things with my Plus Scholars class this fall, just with them engaging with some of our alums and leaders throughout the community in Lawton and Duncan and the communities in Southwest Oklahoma. But I do think adults and successful professionals, they want to give back, Jay, like what you're talking about. No, I think that's great. Well, Jay, I can't tell you thank you enough. Thank you for everything that you do for Cameron University. Thank you for everything you do for Southwest Oklahoma. And for today, thank you most of all for being the very first guest on CU Today. So I don't know how many people can say they were the first guest on a new show, Jay, but you can now tell your friends and family that is you.
Well, I'm honored to be chosen to do that, and I've enjoyed it, and I think I've set the bar pretty low, so I think you'll just excel from here.
Well, Jay, we are so thankful for you for joining us and on this episode of CU Today, and we will be right back with Dr. Kerry Schneider, who's an amazing department chair and professor of English here at Cameron University. Thanks, Jay. Go Aggies, and we'll be right back.
Programming on KCCU is made possible by Cameron University. Cameron is committed to providing its students with a top-quality education from caring and qualified faculty. Small class sizes provide an environment where learning and student success are the highest priority. More at cameron.edu.
Hello, I'm Mike Leal, General Manager of KCCU. The elimination of CPB funding is a devastating blow. For KCCU, it means $108,000 each year, putting the trusted programs you count on every day at serious risk. KCCU is listener-powered. Fuel it with your support. Keep public radio strong. Contribute now at kccu.org or call 888-454-7800. Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of CU Today. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my next guest, Dr. Kerry Schneider. Kerry is not only an amazing associate professor of English, but she also recently became department chair. And Kerry, welcome to the first episode of CU Today.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, Kerry, we're so excited. And for folks that are listening for the first time on KCCU or listening in the link in a podcast form, I always like to start, we're going to have the second half of the show is going to be one of our amazing professors or staff members talking about the things that they're doing. And Kerry, we're so glad to have you here. Talk a little bit. I always like to start by asking professors about your background and your journey to being a professor at Cameron University.
Well, I graduated with my PhD in 2018 from the University of Arizona.
Great school.
PhD in literature. But in undergrad, I actually studied German studies. And ended up getting a master's in German studies and then a master's in English and then a PhD in literature. And I applied to 65 schools when I was finishing my PhD, and Cameron was one of them. And I had never even been to Oklahoma until my job interview. And I came out here and found that this is a beautiful part of the country. And there are just awesome people who work here. I absolutely fit in with my department. I'm so excited to work with the kind of students we have here at Cameron that want to be here, and that it's a small enough school that I get to, you know, get to know everyone and see my students through their career from being a freshman to graduating to getting a job in the community. It's such a cool place to have ended up.
Carrie, it's the best job in the world. And I tell people, I've been a professor 18 years. This will be my 19th year as a professor. And if I had 1,000 lives, I'd be a professor, all 1,000 of them. Now, you got your PhD at the University of Arizona, but you're from Arizona originally.
I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and I did all of my schooling pretty much in my hometown. I was really blessed in that regard. I didn't really have to move very far, and I could still, you know, go have dinner with my parents on Sundays if I wanted to. And it's Oklahoma is different than the desert, but it still has a lot of character. I was excited to come here and see that we've got some cactus growing. We've got some desert willows out by the
Absolutely.
Science complex. And I was like,
Absolutely,
okay, I feel at home here.
Well, and we are, I don't know if we're going to have an informal club on this, Carrie, but with the realignment of sports conferences, you and I both are proud Big 12 PhDs.
Yeah.
So I'm an Oklahoma State PhD, Oklahoma State and Arizona now in the same conference. And so maybe we'll have to have some kind of Big 12 PhD alumni group. We'll work on that. That'll be a separate issue off air. I always like to ask, Carrie, when talking about research and things like that, how does your research kind of extend to fields? You talked about some of your background and some of the different things that you've done, but how does that extend maybe beyond what traditionally might someone think as literature?
So I was trained as an Americanist in American studies. I really focused on 19th century American literature. I've worked as the communications director of the Melville Society for 5 years.
Wow.
But I also do research in things that maybe aren't what you would call literature. I've done a lot of writing and presenting on the rhetoric around nuclear waste and doing sort of a literary analysis and close reading of thousands of pages of government documents about how do we label nuclear waste in our waste repositories as dangerous for as long as it's going to be dangerous, which is tens of thousands of years. So this is a really interesting case study in communication and language and how language might change over time. But also, these are bananas government documents. Like, they begin with poems. There's like flash fiction and science fiction in these Department of Energy documents. And so all of the skills and training that I have from literary analysis can also be applied to these, because they're made of language. Like, anything that's made of words that makes meaning, you can analyze with the tools of literary analysis. And so I get to sort of go down these rabbit holes of things that seem kind of oddball, but that tell us so much about our culture and our history, and that can be made sense of using the tools that I learned for just reading American literature.
Carrie, I love everything about that. So I always think it's interesting, because any of us that are professors and the research that we do, I always think it's interesting the different things, because you may say a topic, right? So you're an English professor, I'm a marketing professor. It's interesting how we get into certain literature streams or certain research streams. How did you get involved in that, Carrie? That's fascinating to me.
I think both I read a children's book about nuclear waste when I was like 7 and found it really interesting. And then when I drive home between Lawton and Tucson, I actually drive past the waste isolation pilot plant.
So yes, absolutely.
I drive past it repeatedly. I ended up staying at a hotel halfway, driving home from Christmas, and ended up being next door to the Department of Energy Carlsbad Field Office, and was like, well, I'll just walk over there and see what they've got in the lobby. And that was a whole experience that I then was like, I need to write about this for an academic conference, because the way that we are trying to tell this story to the rest of the nation says so much about us
it does.
Our priorities and our understanding of our responsibility to the future. It's fascinating. And it's also kind of silly and fun and exciting. So
And what an amazing thing, and what an awesome thing for your students to get to learn from and be a part of that. And that's awesome. I love everything about that. Well, one of the things I want to ask you, so if I ask people, so I had a few weeks ago, Carrie, the great privilege of welcoming a whole big group of our new Cameron freshmen, right? And their supporters and their family members. And it was so great. And if I ask people, like, what do you think your first college class that you're going to take is? Invariably, one of the ones that people say the most, probably the one they say the most, is English.
Yeah.
They say, I'm going to take English, right? And I took, when I was a first-generation college student, you know, Comp 1 and Comp 2.
Yep.
one of the things that I think sometimes students don't appreciate, and quite frankly, Carrie, I didn't appreciate it as much when I was in it, is how broadly applicable the skills that I learned in my English class in college and professional writing, like that has served me in so many ways for the 30 years since I took that in college.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that, how that's applicable across majors?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying with my own research, the skills for learning how to analyze writing, you can analyze anything that's made out of language. Yeah. But a lot of the skills for attentive reading, like being able to make sense of a complex situation, understand that there's not necessarily one right answer, but multiple possible interpretations, being able to sort of sit with ambiguity and work through it, those are skills that make you a good reader, but those are also skills that make you a good manager, right?
Absolutely.
Like that's how you deal with life. I think writing is so vital. Like a lot of students say at the end of Comp 2, well, now I'm going to be done with English. It was like, well, where are you moving that you're going to be done with English? Because you're still going to speak and write for the rest of your life in whatever field you go into, whether that's, you know, writing a memo at work, writing an email to your boss, you know, negotiating who is my audience, what am I trying to accomplish with this purpose. My uncle's the primary investigator of a medical lab at the VA hospital in Arizona, and he tells me he wishes he paid more attention in his writing classes because now that he's the head of a lab, he's doing less hands-on science and a lot more writing. He writes grants. He writes proposals. He has to write descriptions of his accomplishments to, you know, convince the government to give him money to keep doing this research. And writing is what makes money flow. Writing
Absolutely.
Is what gets things done. Writing is what connects people. And being able to learn those skills and the fundamentals of it in college can carry you so many places.
I think that's so true. And I think that's something that no one, I loved how you articulated that, because no one really told me. The truth is, the further you go in your career, the more writing you do.
Yes.
And quite frankly, if you're not able to write effectively, and I say this to business students, you know, as a marketing professor, you're really putting a ceiling on your career.
Absolutely. And
I think that's something that, again, whether that be accounting or whether that be in the health sciences or engineering or education, I think all of those things, you have to have those writing skills to be able to advance the way you want.
Yeah.
So Carrie and I are both new to our roles. So I am a pretty new president, right? Been here about a month. And Carrie is a brand new department chair, also started the same day as me. And what first thing, Carrie, I would say is, and we should say this to every department chair, thank you for your service. talk a little bit about your department, what all of that entails, but also talk about some of the cool things that you have going on right now in the department.
Yeah. So I am chair of the Department of Communication, English, and Foreign Languages. We have degrees in English education, in journalism and media production, in strategic communication. We have minors in communication studies, journalism and media production, professional writing, public relations, English, language arts, multicultural studies, foreign languages, French, German, Spanish, and Latin.
Wow.
And we have a bunch of micro-credentials that you can also earn. Whether or not you're one of our majors, you can get micro-credentials in professional communication, workplace communication, social media communication, technical writing, drone piloting and licensure, French, German, and Spanish language proficiency micro-credentials. So there's a lot going on in the academic side of our department, as well as a bunch of things outside of the classroom. So we have a state-of-the-art TV studio where students get hands-on professional experience with every aspect of TV producing. We have three student-produced shows every week. We have a live news show, we have an e-gaming show, and we have a sports show. And all of this is created by our students. And they end up graduating with the experience to get hired in newsrooms locally and across the country.
And that hands-on, Carrie, I just recently went on my first tour of the studio.
Isn't it cool?
It's amazing. And to make that point for anyone that's listening, think about being a student. This is experiential learning. Like you're getting hands-on working in actual media, broadcast media. I was blown away by how cool that space was.
We just, in 2023, had some big grants to get everything updated. So we are using the same equipment that you'd be using when you go work at KSWO.
That's awesome.
We also have an award-winning student newspaper, the Cameron Collegian. For the fourth time in 5 years, we just won the Sequoia Award, which is the highest honor at the Oklahoma Press Association Better Newspapers Contest. So we're the best college newspaper in the state.
Best college newspaper in the state. Got to sit in my office right now. Absolutely.
And we also, the staff in the newspaper won multiple awards in individual categories: news story, sports story, education story, in-depth reporting, column writing, news photographs, front page design. And our most recent managing editor graduated and immediately got hired to be the editor of Southwest Impressions magazine.
Wow.
So our graduates work.
Hannah. I met Hannah the other day. She's amazing too.
And you don't have to be one of our majors to write for the Collegian.
Yeah.
Anyone who's interested in news writing, learning the ins and outs of publishing, can get involved. You get to learn more about your community and more about Cameron in doing this in investigations and reporting. And also award-winning speech and debate team. We participate in tournaments around the region. We've gone to nationals repeatedly. In fact, just this last year at nationals, we got 10th in the nation in combined team sweeps, and that's head-to-head against big schools
that
have
amazing
multiple coaches. Our speech and debate coach, Katie Stringer, has won Outstanding Coach of the Year in Oklahoma twice in the last 3 years, and individual team competitors are bringing home trophies. We host two major speech and debate tournaments here at Cameron every year, bringing in hundreds of students from colleges around the country to come here and compete in English and in English education. We have awesome internships where students get to put their professional writing skills in practice. So we've done professional writing and grant writing for Comanche County Memorial Hospital, for Lawton Police Department, the Lawton Public Library. And we had a multi-year internship working with Fish and Wildlife and the Friends of the Wichitas to revise, edit, and reissue the classic trail guide to the Wichita Mountains. Our student editors have also worked with a Peace Corps graduate to write her memoirs and help publish her memoirs. We have two literary magazines that we publish every year, The Gold Mine, which is in print, and The Oklahoma Review, which is fully digital. So students get hands-on editing experience there. And anyone can get their stuff published in The Gold Mine and Oklahoma Review. Keep your eye out for requests for submission. So if you make art, take photos, write poetry, write some short stories, and you want to get that published, you can. I have some of my visual art published in The Oklahoma Review, which is super fun. We have a visiting writers series. We bring published writers from around the region and around the country to come and give readings and talk to students about that career. We have a writer studio club that hosts a First Friday's open mic, so anyone can come and read work that they've written. So we have so much going on, and our graduates go on. Obviously, you can expect the career of being an English teacher for sure, but some of these graduates go on to work for the McMahon Auditorium Authority, working in public libraries, going on to graduate school, going on to law school. Yeah. So there's so many paths that you can take, both for hands-on learning here in the department and in the careers that it can take you after you graduate.
Carrie, that is remarkable. And I feel like I just had an extra Diet Dr. Pepper, even though I drink a lot already, because it's so exciting to hear the things that you and the department are making possible for our students. And I say this as a first-generation college student, but I also say this as a very proud dad of a son and daughter who are college age. Those are the things that change their lives.
Absolutely.
But it's also the things that, again, When you heard Dr. Schneider talking about this, for students who are listening, those are the things that set your career on a trajectory to build the type of professional life that you want for you and your family. And we get to do all those amazing things right here in a place where we care about each other and we support our students. Carrie, thank you for being the first professor guest ever on this show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so exciting to get to do this and get to do something that's related to my department of communication.
Absolutely. I would encourage every student, look for classes you can take with Dr. Schneider. Be excited about the classes you can take in that department. They're doing great things. And thank you all for joining us on the very first episode of See You Today. We're so thankful to our friends at KCCU, which is an amazing radio station, best radio station in America. We're thrilled to be on this. We look forward to doing this every month. It's a really great day to be part of the CU family. Hope everybody has a great day. This is Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University. We'll see you next time. Go Aggies.